Events that happened on this Sunday, Palm Sunday, so long ago. We're going to look a little bit further in the week now to things that transpired on Thursday night. In Mark, the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 16, this happened to Jesus. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. Here's what we're looking at today. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Now, it's Palm Sunday, and a day that we often focus on messages about the events of this Sunday and Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And yet you know that during Holy Week there are so many other things for us to see and to focus on and to be blessed by. I'm asking you to look a little bit further in the week and to discover some very challenging truths that happened in events further on. We just read how the soldiers took their turns mocking Jesus, abusing him in the process of him being shoved back and forth between Herod, the Jewish leader, and Pilate, the Roman governor. And you know what happens. You've read it before, but follow it again, that finally Pilate, he's tired of the game, he's just tired of the pressure, and he just wants to wash his hands literally of the whole situation, and he just says, okay, just flog him and crucify him, and doggone it, that's going to shut everybody up, and I'll be done with this mess. It's cheap, it's cowardly, just like a lot of politicians tend to do when they're trying to save themselves. And this beam of wood is tied onto Jesus' shoulders. It's very, very heavy, and he has to carry it to the site of his execution. It's awful. Terrible stuff happens this week. While he is on the way, the stress is too much. I mean, you can understand it. Just physically, what has Jesus been through? He's already been emotionally exhausted being in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says he sweat drops of blood there. It was so emotional because he knew what he was about to face. And he's physically exhausted from being beaten, from being whipped, from being abused. I mean, that is awful. He's been up all night. He's been tortured in many, many ways. And it must have been that he just stumbled. He just fell. He's exhausted. He can't take another step. He cannot carry this heavy beam of wood on his back. No matter how much the Roman guards yell at him, or beat him. Even these hard-hearted soldiers know that it's no use beating a whipped horse. And so they finally give up. And what do they do? What do they do? And it said, they compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. His name was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Rufus and Alexander. This has been portrayed in a medieval picture. The man in the white there is portrayed as Simon of Cyrene, compelled to help carry the cross of Christ. But I don't know how realistic this is. They tell us that the beam of the cross was separate. And this was probably a lot grittier and a lot dirtier scene than is portrayed here. But Simon of Cyrene. You know, you can see what the Roman soldiers did. They'd looked around. They say, "Hey, you! Yeah, you, come here. You carry this thing right now. Get down, carry it." People didn't have any rights back then. The Roman soldiers could do that. They could jolly well do whatever they pleased. And Simon of Cyrene was forced to carry the cross that Jesus was having to bear. Why was Simon of Cyrene picked out of the crowd? Was he just the closest by? You know, the handiest? Was he the strongest looking guy that was around? Did the soldiers just pick on him because they didn't like his looks? Why was he chosen? We aren't told. But get this. We know his name. That's not typical. That's not usual in the gospel stories that tell us all this other stuff. Think of all the other stories you know about some famous incidences, like the woman at the well. What was her name? Don't know. How about the man who was healed of leprosy? No name. Or about the widow who put that small amount of money in the temple box? We don't know her name. Or the man who was let down through the roof, the paralytic that Jesus healed. Don't know his name. Or the centurion who's at the foot of the cross. Time and time again throughout the Gospels, we're told about people who interacted with Christ, but we don't know their name. But we know this guy's name. Why? Some people have speculated that Simon of Cyrene went on to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and he was well known by the people that Mark was writing to. They say, oh yeah, Simon of Cyrene, we know him. He's a believer. At least they must have known his sons because his sons are named. You know, the father of Rufus and Alexander, their dad. He's the one who did this. Maybe that's how we have his name. But how, for whatever reason we know, the important thing is that he got remembered as having the privilege of carrying the beam of the cross. I'm sure that it did not feel like a privilege when it was happening. This was rough. This was embarrassing. This was a terrible thing, a humiliating thing to have to do. I'm sure that Simon just didn't like it at all. And had no idea what was going on. Not at all. And, you know, it could well be that the humiliating, the rough, or the difficult things that you're going through right now might feel absolutely terrible. But who knows that it might not turn into something that you say, well, you know, that cross was a privilege for me to bear. It probably became that for Simon. You know, if we look at this incident again, there's something really ironic here, isn't it? I don't know if anybody's ever pointed this out to you before, but what's the name of the man who should have been helping Jesus carry his cross? Who was his best friend? His name was Simon. His name was Simon Peter. Now, where is he? Is he helping Jesus carry the cross? No. He had his chance to stand up for Jesus in the courtyard there, you know, and the little maid girl said, hey, you're one of his followers, aren't you? And what did Peter do? Simon Peter said, no, not me. You got me mistaken for somebody else. Three times that happened to him. The little girl said, yeah, you're one of his followers. And three times he denied it. Now, isn't it ironic that what happens the third time he denies him? A chicken crows. Bawk, 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 bawk. Do you think that was ironic? God's way of saying, Simon, Peter, you chickened out on me. Whoa. Now, here it is that guy is in hiding. He's not anywhere to be found helping Jesus, his friend, carry the cross. But who is? A guy by the name of Simon. A stranger. He's the one helping Jesus. How about that? You know, we ought to be very, very interested in the little people in the Gospels because we can relate to the little people in the Gospels. We are those little people. You are Simon of Cyrene. I am Simon of Cyrene. We're going to live in our own little part of the world, have our little impact on the people around us, but we're not going to do anything fantastic or great or be absolutely famous or move the world or be king of the world. No, not going to live that large. But Jesus calls the little people to do so much. Time and again in the Bible, it's the little person who's in the spotlight. And we can see ourselves in that person, whoever he or she might be. And we can take heart in that. Jesus knows us and interacts with us and lifts us up, whatever our need might be at the moment. So let's look at Simon a little bit more. Simon, carrying this cross, did he want to? No. This was not something that Simon wanted to do. He didn't have a big smile on his face and say, "Oh, I'll be glad to." No, he was extremely reluctant about that. He was forced to. It was something that has given to him. A lot of effort, a lot of pain. If you'd asked him if he wanted to, he said, "No, I'll pass. No thanks. Let somebody else do it." But Simon had no choice because the Romans could make him carry it. He had to. And sometimes life compels us to carry stuff we don't want to carry, to do things that we don't want to do. But life says, tough. You take it. This is what you've got. I know that's un-American. Oh, absolutely un-American. I know that's not what the religion of modern times preaches to us and say, no, you shouldn't have to if you don't want to. Man, that's like a mantra in our day and time. And so is the belief that you shouldn't have to suffer. You shouldn't have to go through difficult times. Everything ought to be good and everything ought to be painless. That's what we believe. But that's not life. That's not how it's dished out to us. Simon of Cyrene was probably muttering under his breath as he's carrying along and saying, "This is not fair. This is not fair that I should have to do this." Yeah, it's not fair, is it? Not fair with what you have to carry either, is it? Are you going to whine? Are you going to complain? Or are you going to carry that cross for Jesus? John and Susan had a baby born with Down's syndrome. To the world, that looked like an injustice. That looked like a tragedy. But John and Susan recognized that their son, his birth, they said it was a gift. They said it was an opportunity for them to be faithful, for them to bend their lives and bend their careers toward that little one who was in need. Sharon was thrust into the middle of a dispute in her neighborhood when the city tried to put a toxic waste dump very close by the neighborhood in which she lived. Was it because the neighborhood was poor and nobody would care? One probably thought so. But Susan could have easily said, "Well, it's not something I can do anything about." She'd never been in charge of anything before, never spoken in public or led anything great. But she got selected to go to City Hall, to lead the people in arguing the case against it, to organize the pickets outside the mayor's office. It was her chance, like Simon of Cyrene, to take up a cross. We ought to be glad that Simon of Cyrene was there that fateful day as things are moving toward Calvary. Because if he hadn't been there, who knows whether or not the cross would have been there for you and me to take care of our sins. Think of all the other little people who have lived faithful lives as believers from up until the time of this event up until March 28th, 2010. Think how many people have been faithful in carrying their cross and their burdens and their faith and passing it along to their children, passing it along to their friends, passing it along down through the ages to where it finally reaches you whenever it has reached you and whenever you said, "Yeah, I'll take it on." Who will bear the cross? Somebody has done so for a long, long time and brought it to you and me. The question for you today is, will you carry the cross? Pastor Williman tells about the Sunday morning that he was presiding over communion and the Lord's Supper, and he was standing behind the table, and he spread his arms to give thanks for the bread that God had provided to the people that day. And when he did this, there was a little boy in the congregation who suddenly piped up and said, "Look, Mommy, he's trying to look like Jesus on the cross." And Williman said, "Now that's a good thing to be said about a Christian. He or she is trying to be like Jesus, bearing things on the cross." And yet that's something that you and I don't want. We will decline if we can, because it's so hard, it's so bad, and it's so difficult to be a Christian. It's demanding to be caring and to be serving like that. How many crosses have you declined in your lifetime? And what crosses might you be declining today? It's easy to sit around and be here in fellowship and in worship on a Sunday morning, but when it comes to the tough stuff, the difficult stuff on the Monday through Saturday into the next Sunday sort of thing, there's probably a whole lot of things where you're saying, I don't think I'll do that. That's too hard. George MacLeod wrote a book that he entitled Beyond Playing Church. And he said this, "I simply argue that the cross should be raised at the center of the marketplace as well as the steeple of the church. I am recovering the claim that Jesus was not crucified between two candles, but on a cross between two thieves, on the town's garbage heap, at the crossroads, so cosmopolitan they had to write his title in Hebrew and Latin and Greek, at the kind of place where cynics talk smut and thieves curse and soldiers gamble, because that is where he died. And that is what he died about. That is where church people ought to be and what church people ought to be about." Now, they say that actions speak louder than words, and that's what we need to have a match up here. Oh, yes, I'll bear the cross for you, Jesus. But then when it comes down to the rubber hitting the road, we don't. A Harvard psychologist, Jerome Bruner, did some research designed to bolster his assertion that people tend to act their way into a manner of thinking rather than to think their way in a manner of acting. The year was 1934. It was a long time ago, okay? And he was set to show that there's little relationship between people saying what they believe and then how they actually act. And he did an experiment. It was very interesting. He had a white professor and two Chinese graduate students travel about the United States. At that time, there was a huge prejudice against Chinese people. And what they did was they stayed in over 60 hotels and motels around the United States and ate at countless restaurants, over 100 restaurants, really. They were rarely ever turned away from a motel, and they were served at every restaurant they went to, even though there was this huge prejudice against those Chinese people. However, when the psychologist wrote letters back to the hotels and back to the restaurants and said, "Do you serve Chinese people?" Almost all of them said, no, we don't. Bruner concluded that sometimes our actions are much better than our stated beliefs. And yet thinking and doing often do go hand in hand. In another study in Palo Alto, California, merchants were asked to display a small sign in their window advocating a program of safety, a little safety notice in their stores. Later, they were asked to take a bigger step and to do something supportive in the area of safety, to take a bigger action about that. Those merchants that agreed to post a small sign were much, much more likely to do the bigger thing or the harder thing or the more difficult thing. So, it's important to begin with small steps. And the small step can get you going in the right direction. And the small cross or difficulty to bear can get you ready for the bigger things. What did Jesus say? "Whoever is faithful in little is also faithful in much." I wonder if Jesus got something little that he's asking you to take on for him today. you say yes to that, maybe he can trust you and enable you with something more. You see, this is Holy Week, and we're called to walk behind Jesus as he goes to the cross, as he stares evil in the face, as he confronts the powers of evil, and as he gives his life over to God. The battle that he is waging is huge, it's cosmic, it's eternal. But along the way, he asks very ordinary people to take some of the steps with him. This guy's name was Simon of Cyrene. And even reluctantly, he took the steps with Jesus. Here we are 2,000 years later talking about this guy and saying, wow, what's your name? Is Jesus calling you to take some steps with him? There's an old hymn that says, must Jesus bear the cross alone? Must Jesus bear the cross alone? Would you let him do something like that? No, from out of the crowd, ordinary people step up, put their confidence in him, and take up their cross and follow. Will you be there with Jesus? Are you there with Jesus? Or are you one of those folks who are hanging back in the crowd of spectators, real passive, you know? Oh, yeah, let somebody else do it. I'm glad you're part of the crowd that comes to church on Sunday morning and worships God. That's good as far as it goes. But you need to take that further step. You need to go up to the next level of faith and action to get in the life of Jesus Christ. Get into the place of service that he has for you. It's not easy. That's why it's called a cross. Okay? But it involves a lot of pain. It involves a lot of problems. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. It's not a picnic. It's not a stroll in the park. So it's good for us today to take a look at a man who was compelled to carry the cross of Christ. And know that his name is recorded for us in the Bible. It's another thing for us to say, you know, he's calling my name and he expects me to do it too. You know, if you step up and you are willing to carry it, you have eternal life. You're in with Jesus to live with him forever. What a fantastic invitation. But that's what he calls us to do.